want to talk to you a few minutes about there is no fear of God. If you look around the country, there appears to be no fear of God in America. People have been taught that there is no God and there is no accountability, but that's wrong. And it's bled over into the church so that there's no fear of God. My Bible says that God will fulfill the desires of those who fear God. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Righteousness exalts a nation, the Bible says, but sin is reproach to any people. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord," and verse 28, "and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord." You can explain that away any way you want to, but it's still true, and you're going to discover it works that way in your life. When we disobey God, it brings bad things into our lives, not just in the next world, but right now. I know, I've lived now a long time, and buddy, it's very important to hear and obey God because there's a penalty to be paid. And a lot of times it's not God bringing judgment, it's because God has given us these rules to keep us out of trouble, and when we break God's rules, we're getting in trouble. Righteousness exalts a nation. The people of a nation must live by God's commandments. America has been blessed for the most part because we've been a godly nation that live by the commandments of the Lord. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Say what you will, but my first grade teacher taught me to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. She gave me what she called a golden rule, and it's written on a ruler. I thought the ruler's made out of gold. But it was do unto others as you have them do unto you. We don't do that now. We've been taught by secular humanists, do what is right for you. Don't worry about doing good for other people. Do what is good for you. That's exactly opposite to the gospel. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. That you can take that to the bank. It doesn't matter what the secular humanists are teaching in these universities. God's word is still true. And look around at the horrible things the people of this country are going through right now. Raping each other, murdering each other, lying to each other, cheating each other. You see, breaking God's commandments is sin. Period. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 12, "It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness." The government must be established in righteousness. We need righteous leaders. Righteous, and I don't mean just the top offices. I mean school board. I mean mayors. I mean city councilmen. I mean local yokels. Can you say amen? Righteousness is the real reason the United States of America has been blessed. And a nation in itself is not righteous. It's the people. It's the people. And the people right now in America, I mean, it's almost dangerous to walk out of your house. And I grew up in the 50s, early 60s, and I'm going to tell you right now, we went to bed and never locked our doors, left the keys in the car. Nobody ever bothered us. You go back to the same community, now they got bars barring the windows and double padlocks and everything else all over everything. We must live by God's commandments, and when we do, it's better for everybody. When I live by God's commandments, it's better for you. When you live by God's commandments, it's better for me. Thou shalt not kill. What's wrong with that? Shall not murder. Shall not steal. You want people stealing your stuff? Isaiah 54, verse 14, "In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you." When people are righteous, they can live in peace. Verse 15, "Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." When people live godly, God protects them and keeps us safe. Verse 17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." That's why no one has ever been able to defeat America on the battlefield, is because we've had the favor and the blessing of God on us. In our great arrogance, we think it's because of our brilliance and all of our technology and everything. But the truth is, it's the hand of God's. It's God's hand of protection that's kept us, and that hand is lifting, and things are not the same. Things are not the same. God's not protecting this nation as he once did. And God sent me here to tell you this. We need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for each other. When I say nation, we need to pray for the people. Our children, every one of them in these universities, some professor there is teaching them to play around with sex, to play around with homosexuality, to try drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, and all these different things they're actually pushing on our people, and it's destroying them. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This says, a righteous people will not be oppressed and will not live in terror. Now, most Americans today are living in fear. Afraid to go outside, almost. If you drive down the road, somebody might get mad at you because you forgot to turn your turn signal on and start shooting at you. People have become so violent. And the weapons of our enemies, what it says, will not prosper against us. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This says, a righteous people will not be oppressed and will not live in terror. And the weapons of our enemies will not prosper against us. You see, that includes all their lies and deception and hate, assault, condemnation, demonizing, and vicious acts of violence. If we as individuals truly serve God, God will protect us from demonized people. That's the truth. He'll protect you and me if we'll live right and obey him. This is what some people are doing, these wicked things to other people, because they have an ungodly motive. God's mighty hand will protect us from these people if we'll serve him and obey him. No weapon that is formed against Barry Cuberson shall prosper. You hear me, devil? No weapon. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Well, I don't believe that. Well, there's a day coming when you will. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all of the nations that forget God. See, America has forgotten the God who created her because we've been brainwashed from our university professors and TV, okay, and social media and everything else. Brainwashed to believe there's not a God, and if there is, he's a teddy bear, and you don't have anything to fear. They need to read the Bible. Verse 18, for the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. So keep you, if you're expecting God to bless you, keep your expectation up, because you'll not be disappointed if you serve him. Don't worry, the God of justice is on his way. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and the needy shall not always be forgotten. Yet the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. That's why we're told not to seek vengeance, because God will do it for us. Now, obviously, well, God's not a God of vengeance, he's a God of justice. And very often, as I already said briefly, that the bad things we suffer when we break his commandments is because those things were there and the commandments were there to protect us. If you hop in bed with somebody and that person has AIDS, you're going to get AIDS or get HIV and wind up with AIDS. And you say, well, God put this on me. No, he didn't. You put it on yourself by breaking God's law. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, if we obey him, he will provide everything we need. Yes, God's a God of love, and we all need to know that. But we all need to know we can't just do anything we want to do. Because a lot of the judgment is built in, for one thing. 1 Timothy 4:8, godliness is profitable. Did you know that? Godliness is profitable. It's profitable. It's good for us. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You see, God rewards those who live godly and who keep his commandments, and he punishes those or allows them to be punished by the devil, allows them to be punished for ungodly behavior. But if we serve him, godliness is profitable. I've been blessed all my life because I've made it and been perfect, as some of you know. Okay, but God has blessed me because I've made an all-out effort to live by his rules. It is profitable. Amen. And forget not all of his benefits. Well, I haven't experienced any benefits. Well, are you praying? Are you doing the Word of God? Are you reading the Bible? Are you going to church? Are you doing what God asked you to do personally, individually? Are you tithing? Are you giving? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? If you're obeying God and keeping his commandments, then he's promised to bless you, reward you. I don't care what anybody else preaches. I don't go by preachers. I go by what Jesus and the Word of God says. If you listen to preachers, you're going to wind up in some of them wind up in a ditch. And you don't even listen to this one unless he's reading the Bible. You listen to the Word of God. That's the reason Christians get deceived. They listen to people. Get it. Know this Word. That's why so many people keep taking the class I teach. They want to know the Word of God. And look how the people of this church have been blessed. When people abandon God, he will abandon them. That's the reason America is getting in such much trouble right now. God's not really sending anything bad on us yet. I'm not saying he won't, but right now we're just reaping what we sow. When people abandon God, he will abandon them, but he will not abandon his saints. And you say people in big trouble, well, I'm next. I'm not next. I'm not next. God's taking care of me. 1 Kings, verse 18, 1 Kings 18, verse 17. Yeah, but preacher, you're perfect. Don't ask Dottie. God didn't bless me because I'm perfect. He blesses me because the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my life. And I try to obey him. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. Then he saw Elijah. Ahab said to Elisha, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? You see, they demonize God's people then just like they do now. If you're a godly person, you're a bigot, and they call you names. And if you're against abortion, you hate women. What about loving the baby? What about loving the baby? And don't tell me that you weren't once in a womb. You were. What if your mother aborted you? Would you like for her to abort you? Do unto others as you have them do unto you. You see, but they demonized Elijah because he was a godly man speaking the truth, and they were blaming their problems on him. And there's a lot of people in America right now blaming their problems on Christians because of what we believe. And at one time, everybody in America basically believed what the Bible teaches. I know. I grew up in the 50s, 60s. Our teachers even spoke and talked it everywhere. Verse 18, I have not made, not all of them, but a big percentage. I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. So how can we make trouble for America by abandoning the Lord's commands? My generation introduced the new morality and abandoned the word of the Lord. It started with my generation and lying, demonized professors teaching them there's no God, no accountability. Man evolved from a little speck out in the ocean. They don't bother to tell you where the ocean came from or the speck. So is it possible God is abandoning America because we have abandoned him and his word? My generation was taught to abandon the law of God. The Ten Commandments are irrelevant. Is it irrelevant to say thou shalt not steal, lie, kill, commit adultery? Is that irrelevant today? Absolutely not. And to demonize godly people who spoke the truth. Kids in our universities today are really taught to attack Christian teachings as bigots. Try saying marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay. Try saying that. You can get fired for saying that. Try saying the only way the only sex God approves of is sex between a married man and woman. Try telling people that. And don't misunderstand, I love homosexuals. I got some homosexuals I love. Some I feel like almost like family. But I have to still tell I have to preach what the Bible says, and they have to love me enough to let me speak what I believe, and I have to love them enough to let them do what they want to do. And I couldn't stop them if I wanted to. But we're commanded to love everybody. You don't get to mistreat homosexuals. You don't get to mistreat people who are shacked up together either. Amen. You love, but you don't condone what they're doing. But at the same time, you love them, and you're a good Samaritan. That Samaritan hated that Jew. The Samaritans hated the Jews, but that Samaritan is the one that helped that Jew that was in the ditch. And the Lord said, go and be like that Samaritan. We're supposed to be loving and helping everybody. Preach the truth and love. Somewhere along the way, the church pretty much lost that too. So some of it's the church, okay, church people. We are required by God to warn people about judgment. As a matter of fact, it says in Ezekiel, if the watchman does not warn the wicked of his ways, he'll perish, but his blood will be required at the watchman's hand. And St. Paul said, I'm free of all man's blood because I preach the truth. So Paul believed that. If he didn't preach the truth, that blood would be on his hands. And he said, my hands are free of blood because I preached all the truth. Y'all paying attention? We do not have problems because of global warming, but because of global sin. Storms are not any worse today. Matter of fact, if you take the time to do a little research, the storms in the early 1900s were far worse than anything we're having now. The difference is God protected the nation more then than now because they were living more by the godly principles. Say what you will, but that's the truth. I'm a history major, and I grew up not in the early 1900s, but not too far after that. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither ears heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's the problem in America right now. The wickedness, people thought they were getting away with it, and now this nation is in real trouble. Our enemies are in a position right now to destroy this country. They've never been in that position before. China is ahead of us, military in every other way, just about, economically. And for the first time, you know, we are in real danger as a nation. If you think sin pays, you need to look around. It doesn't. Now, we can't control what everybody else does, but we can control with God's help what we do. We can love everybody and obey the Lord. Can you say amen? Don't let this thing get into the church. I'm just living the way I want to. The Bible says you cannot. Let me read it again. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God. If you start practicing sin, it's going to separate you from the protecting hand of God, me included. 2 Chronicles 12:1, after Rehoboam, Rehoboam's position as king was established and he had become strong. He and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. They abandoned the word of God as we have because they had been unfaithful to the Lord. It says, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. When they abandoned the Lord, their enemies attacked. And that's what's happening right now in America. This is what happens to us as individuals as well. We abandon the law of the Lord, we start getting in trouble. Verse 5, then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and said to Rehoboam and to the leaders, and he said to them, this is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you to Shishak. I abandon you to your enemy. Now what if he should say to us, I have abandoned you to China and Russia and Iran and North Korea? You see, we have big problems today. We had better stop hating each other and preaching hate against each other and stand together as one man, as one person, and do what is right. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We can be a source of healing for the whole land, but we can't compromise. You see, the elders of Israel and the king, when they heard this, they humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is just. He's justified in abandoning us." Verse 7, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. He said, "Since," the Lord said through this prophet, "since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak." You see, this is why the Lord told me to preach this. It's not too late for this nation to repent. I'm one of those people who still believe the best days of America are straight ahead, but we're going to have to repent of our sins, our rebellion, our racism, and everything else, and turn back to God and start becoming good Samaritans. It's not too late for us to do that. And the church needs to be the one demonstrating that. When God abandons us because of our sins, the devil comes in to steal, kill, and destroy because the protection is lifted to at least some degree. Destruction is happening like never before all around us. If we will repent of our racism, our hate, our abortions, ungodly sexual activity, and our rebellion against God's word, I believe God will bring deliverance and reestablish this nation to greatness. They will be stronger than China. And China and Russia, China's already stronger in a lot of ways, and now they've become big buddies with Russia. See, Americans today not only speak God's law, but do not only break God's law, but they make up their own code. I have my truth, you have your truth, all things are relative. Some of that has leaked over into the church. There's only one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And everything he says. Well, there's no absolutes. Just do whatever feels good. You do whatever feels good and you're going to wind up destroying yourself. A lot of things that feels good will destroy you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you think we need to preach that? That someday people are going to face judgment? Yes, we must. Are we going to be responsible for their blood? Yes, we need to teach that God is love. He sure is. But it's like a coin. It's two sides. If you serve and obey him, yes, he'll bless you, take care of you, watch over you. But if you rebel against him, he's promised to bring vengeance. Because when I hurt you, if I don't repent of it, God's going to hurt me eventually. Why? Because vengeance is mine, I repay, saith the Lord. If you hurt me, I'm not to try to get even. I'm to let God take care of you. It's what the book says. I'm not preaching heresies. Christians always believe this. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And people are being deceived. Well, I was deceived. I'm sorry, it doesn't count because you're told not to be deceived. Well, how can I not be deceived? Take walk in victory. Get in the Word of God. Get in the church where the Word of God is preached. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice those kinds of sin and will not repent. Many Americans approve of all these sins and call people bigots like me who speak against these things. Do not be deceived. Just listen to the word of God. 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. I mean, people are preaching hate all over this country right now against every kind of race. Big thing right now is preaching hate against Jews. This says if you have hate in your heart, you're going to hell. Amen. Won't believe that. Well, you'll believe it when you get there. So just don't go there. Okay. 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So all of the ungodly and haters do not have eternal life in them. They'd be around hating everybody. The Bible says they do not have eternal life. They might claim to be a Christian, but the Bible says they're not. But here's the great news. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you got to recognize you got sin before you can repent of it. People today don't even know what sin is. We had a couple from University of Tennessee that moved over here in these apartments and started coming to church here just because it was close. And they'd been living together for years and didn't even know the Bible said it's wrong. They come in here and heard me preaching the truth. They both gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And the first thing they did, they wanted to get married. They didn't even know it was a sin to be shacked up with your girlfriend, your boyfriend. But when they heard the truth, they made things right with God. If we confess our sins, we're not to be condemning people and beating people up, folks. Because there ain't no perfect people in this room. Okay. Or anywhere else. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.